Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let me tell you how this came about. I've been under a strict, I too am a man under authority, all right? I'm under my wife's authority. But she makes me look like I'm leading. We just go. We've been going for years and years. There was one season I had preached 110 times in a month and a half, and four transatlantics, you know. I was getting a little loopy, and went to Cyprus after that, and then on to Turkey, and sat down with this Messianic Jewish leader, David Rudolph, a dear friend we work with now, and I said, David, we Gentile preachers, we're the worst violators of the Sabbath principle. We say Sunday's our day off. That's a joke, isn't it? And he just looked at me. He said, you better come apart with Jesus on the mountain before you come apart. And it's a conundrum to say that you have to labor to enter in to rest. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the rest that your presence brings. And so anyway, as we were preparing to leave here from conference, and then I asked humbly permission to minister in Charlotte, and she said yes. And then up to Hackensack, New Jersey, between our time of almost 2 weeks on Long Beach Island at Beach Haven, New Jersey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, it passed the suntan oil. And so we were there, but before we left here, I said, Jane, I called her, I said, we're coming right back through this way driving. If you wouldn't mind, if no one's coming back to that apartment, we could just stay there. You don't even need to change the sheets. And she said, yeah, come on back. But then she said, can you also, you know, speak? So then I humbly, you know, came to my wife, sweetheart. No, I'm going to get in trouble after this. Watch and pray, please. No. All right, so can I tell a story? Remember, technically, story time does not count against preaching time. So, giving story. I have this story where the cello that I played here, Heather, I had named it the cello Heather, and I had gone because my pastor, Dr. Fuchsia Pickett, had preached on dedicating things to Jesus. And so with no knowledge of why I was up there, I went on a Sunday night, cradled my cello in my arms, knelt with it at an altar and said, Jesus, I dedicate this cello to you. I will not play it for my glory or man's glory. I pray it for your glory. So I dedicated it. And so it was wonderful. And, you know, I used to play it right here up on the platform. And, you know, tears come easily to me. So anyway, I was doing Gary Benjamin, Pastor Olin's son-in-law. He had asked me to do this whole week of missions conference. And at that time, they had almost $1 million mission budget. And so meeting with the missionaries, doing retreats with them, and then preaching in the multiple services over the weekend. And on the second service on Sunday, the last, I had done my job, I was finished. I stepped off the platform to go to the seat while Pastor Gary came up. And there was a line of people wanting to speak with me, and the first one was this man. And he said, I saw that you play the cello, because always I could play the cello there with the worship team at Shady Grove. And he said, my daughter has a cello. We've not been able to afford one since my wife died. And guess what the Lord began to speak to me to do? Give my cello away. And I said, this can't be the Lord. This is my, like, flesh. This is my, you know, mercy gift kicking in here. And the more, even while I was praying and ministering to other people, I was saying in my heart, Lord, is this really you? I mean, you wouldn't ask me to give Heather away, would you? So I knew I was supposed to do it. So I called the brother with an irritated voice, you know. There's one version, the reverse Jeff version, that says, God loveth a cheerful giver, but he also receiveth from a grouch. So I was like, oh, man. So I called the brother. I said, brother, come here. I didn't, you know, like, God just spoke to me to give my cello to your daughter. And he said, oh, no, no, please just go get your daughter. Let's get this done, you know. She comes down the aisle. I'm studying her. Is this girl worthy of my cello? And when she stood before me, I didn't ask her her name, didn't say, or hardly acknowledge her. I just said, I looked her square in the eyes, and I said, are you in rebellion against God? One wrong answer, she's not going to get the cello. Are you in rebellion against God? No, no. Do you love God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your might? Oh, yes, I love God. Do you worship the Father in spirit and in truth? Oh, yes, I worship the Father. Last question. Will you follow the Lamb wherever he goes? Oh, yes, I'll follow the Lamb. Okay. I then took the cello and I presented it like a courtroom lawyer. You see this cello here. When I was 14 years old, my pastor preached a message on dedicating things to the Lord. I cradled this cello and I dedicated it to Jesus. You see these stains all down the front of this cello. That's where I worship Jesus, and the tears have flowed over this instrument, and I can worship God more profoundly on this instrument than with the tongues of men and angels. And I said, and God spoke to me to give this cello to you. And when I laid it in her arms, she began to shake, and she fell to her knees, weeping and shaking with the cello in her arms. So I went home. Sweetheart, I gave my cello. I gave Heather away today. My wife never knows what I'm going to give away. And so then the children, you know, in our home there in Palestine, they were used to awakening to the sound of the cello playing from down in my office as I would be worshiping in the mornings. And so they said, Dad, what's the deal? You gave the cello away. And then friends in ministry started like coming and saying, you know, Jeff, are you going to get another cello? We'll help you. People of means said, got near me and said, we'll get you a cello. I said, I didn't want it to come that way. And we were ministering in Germany. And they would ask me, when are you going to get another cello? I said, I'll have one by Christmas. That came out of my mouth. It was early December in Nuremberg, Germany, with the Christmas market in full throttle. I preached probably three nights, four days, something like that. And on the last night, on the last service, it was Sunday morning, I had, I was just, it was over, and a man came to me and said, "Do you want a cello?" I didn't hesitate. I said, "Yes," because I had actually, this is getting too involved now. I had actually, that my wife and Faith had, were encouraging me to buy a cello there in Nuremberg. There was a world famous craftsman that lived there, and previously when I'd minister, he let me demo his cellos. And I was thinking about putting a cello on the credit card, and I was before the Lord on a Thursday morning praying, and he said, "If you'll be patient and wait on me, I will provide it." But I said, "Lord, I need it before Christmas." And so on that Sunday morning, and the Saturday nights when the man came, and on Sunday morning, he called and said, "My wife said immediately, that's what we do with the cello." And we went out that afternoon. It was 111 years old. Oh. And when I took it to the craftsman to get it, and they gave me like 200 or 300 euro to get it, new strings and everything. And he said, "Jeff, this cello is a wonderful cello, but," he said, "the finest," I had two bows with it. He said, "This bow here, the finest cellist in the world would want this bow. It is a very rare French-made bow. It is a Carnegie Hall level bow." And so I told that story to a group there in Cyprus where they were about to just have to shut buildings down because of finance. I was the speaker of that week for the young people that come from all over the Middle East, Europe, and the States, and Americas. And I didn't ask for permission, I just told the story. I opened up a cello case and said, "If you want to give, give." 4 hours later, the offering was over. With 70, maybe 70 people, maybe not even 70 people, most poor students, tears flowing. I went to my wallet like 4 times. I made a vow I'd never give down past $10 or 10 euro because no one came to pick me up one time at an airport in Larnaca. And I said, "I'm always going to have enough money to buy a phone card." I wasn't free till I gave that last 10, all right? And at the when they counted the offering up, it was $77,777.77. 7 sevens. It was the perfect offering. Thank you, Father. Someone give him praise in this house.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about being back here, and I've just been feeling so much of the Father's heart for it, and if this will comfort you, here are my notes, all right? There you go. You like that? I can't even make 3 points out of that. Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing love, for your goodness. You are a good Father, and you still open your hand to satisfy the longing of every living thing. And Lord, we thank you for your open-handed policy towards Shekinah, towards this work, Father. Towards these fields and towards these buildings and towards this, Lord, this place that has vision. Lord, we thank you for your provision for this vision.
Yes,
we thank you that you watch over your to perform it. We thank you, Lord, that your arm is not too short. that it cannot save, that it cannot deliver. You are the mighty one. And you have a mighty voice. And you are in love with cities, regions, and nations. Thank you, Father, for all that is in your redemptive plan. For all that is on your heart to be realized. I pray, Father, that you would begin to answer latent callings. It is never over till it's over. I want to say that again. It is never over till it's over. Amen. There is this partnership. I heard this as we were singing. I heard, you know, heaven is, it's a given that heaven is touching her. But what heaven is looking for is an antiphonal response from her. Heaven touches earth so that earth can touch heaven. So that we can access all that heaven has for us. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he didn't like kind of glaze over it. He announced that the kingdom of God is here. And there was these things that came with the kingdom. The blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the demonized would be set free, the poor would have the gospel preached to them. He taught that to his disciples. And then they could do that. And I was so prepared as I was there by the beach in New Jersey. I was so prepared to share the harvest, about the harvest and the laborers and preparing the laborers for the harvest. But I was redirected. And I want us to turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. In verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Stay with me as I read the full passage. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you. I just want to stop there just for a moment. Lord, would you breathe on us right now?
Yeah.
Would you breathe into us the breath of life? Would you revive us? Would you cause breath to enter again, God, our lives? I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you to cover you with skin and put breath in you that you shall live and that you shall know that I am the Lord. Last verse. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise, a sound like a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, sinews and flesh came upon you, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath. Also, he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds and breathe on what was slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath came onto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet as an exceeding great army. This, Let's think about Ezra just a minute. Let's think about the author. The first thing that happened in his life is he had a throne room encounter. As he was sitting by the river Kibar, and somehow a survivor of all the carnage that happened to Israel because they had violated God's purpose and God's commands for them as a nation. And as he's there, and he begins in that place of intercession, which is identification, all of a sudden, heavens began to open over him. There's so much that can happen under an open heaven. There are things that we can do that will shut heavens over our life. There are things that we can do that will open heavens over our life. One of the primary things that we can do to open heavens, have an open heaven over our life is to have an open heart to heaven. Appreciate your enthusiasm right now. Have an open heart to heaven. The kingdom of God's here. It's not somewhere far off. It's right here, right now. We each have access. Doesn't matter your failure. It doesn't matter your problem. Because of Jesus' blood. Because of his willingness to die, be abused on the cross, be cursed. Because of his blood, we have bold access. We don't need an intermediator between a man between the man Christ Jesus has already done it. And as Ezra comes in to identification, he's caught up. And he begins to see wheels and creatures. And all these things are happening. And then God begins to show him what he wanted. So here he is in this open vision in Ezekiel 37. When we were there by Masada, they're in the Dead Sea area. There's a place where it's not like many of the sites in Israel, there are people that say this is exactly where it happened. This is the olive tree where Jesus prayed. It's a joke, really. There are some things that are being found. But where this Ezekiel was taken is not known, but we do know this, that it impacted him, and now it impacts us what happened there. Here is this place of dryness. Remember, beware of dry places. When Jesus cast out devil, where did he tell him to go? Dry places. Where was Jesus tempted of the devil? In the desert. Hallelujah. We just celebrated the 4th of July. Lord, just hose us down right now. Yes. Just hose us down with love, mercy, and goodness. Hose us down with your love. Open up the fire hydrant. Let us do slip and slide, whatever. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for refreshing. Thank you for wetting us right now. Let the rains of righteousness come over us. I like it in Spanish. Espíritu Santo, satura me. Holy Spirit, saturate me. He said, as he's taken in this open vision, God causes him to pass by them all around. We have this, we've been taught, you know, that we have free will, that we can do anything we want. But never forget that God is sovereign. He rules in the affairs of men. He moves kings' hearts like water. I don't want to have him to have to shout or have some kind of horrible thing to try to teach me. I want to be able to follow the most gentle whisper. The most soft love nudge. We were sitting there on Friday night in this seafood place there in Beach Haven, New Jersey. And it took over an hour to get in. And there were 2-hour waits all over the place. We finally get in, but we'd already engaged in some conversations sitting out in lawn chairs outside. And there is this woman, and as they come in and sit next to us, we had already engaged them in conversation outside. And as she's talking, wanting to continue the conversation, I hear and I see her heart. And so I just repeated it to her. She had probably way too many drinks at that point outside. And so she was a little bit interesting. But I said, "You have known that Jesus has loved you since you were a small child. But he's calling you back to consecrations you made in those days." And she, "You're right. Thank you, Father." Access. Access. I just want to stop here just for a moment. Lord, I pray for an open heaven over our lives, God. Well, I thank you, Father, for the bold access. And thank you, Lord, specifically for the understanding of times and seasons. I thank you, Lord, for that you bring out of your treasuries the wind, and I pray for such a fresh wind. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Over these ones in this place. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Verse 4. God tells Ezekiel he wants him to prophesy. The word means to gush forth. To just overflow out. What is in your heart will come out your mouth. What is here is always goes out. And prophesy literally means to overflow with the word of the Lord. All of us, I say most of us, have been in the Word, studying the Word, reading the Word, going to church. I want to say there is a wealth inside of you. Again, I appreciate your enthusiasm. There is a wealth inside of you. You have so much more than 90 to 95, 98% of the people around. If you've been a student of the Word, going to church, praying, these things, they come. I just don't understand it here in the States, how we perpetually train but don't release. Jesus did it in 3 years with his guys. 3 years. How many seminars do we need? Oh God, I feel fire right now. Lord, I pray for the prophetic to be like fire shut up inside of our bones. I pray for fresh baptisms of Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost and fire. That the timidity, the spirit of timidity would be broken. That the fear, the perfect love would cast out all fear. And the righteous boldness. And the simple proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Father. Prophesy. Have I told the story of the young girl in Geneva? So I preach on a Thursday night in Geneva with the Swiss. Y'all, the inventors of the clock, tick-tock, tick-tock. We must be finished by 9. 9, yes, 9. At 10 o'clock, there was a holy mess happening, all right? So I didn't know what to do with it. So I go to the leader, his name's Bedros, he's an Armenian, married to a Jewish, amazing worship leader. I said, Bedros, what do you want me to do? Give the people a chance to go home. People, there's no one keeping you here. If you need to go, go. No one moved. No one moved. It was after midnight in Geneva, Switzerland. Oh, miracle, love miracles. And so that's when it finally people started going. The next morning, I come in to the worship room. His presence was still so strong and tangible in that place, but I was tired from the night before. And so I said, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to have to facilitate this meeting. Put your anointing on someone else. And I felt the anointing come from behind me. It was a four-year-old girl behind me. Her name is Cedar Destin. She was the third daughter of now 5 children in my life. Who'll give me 7? 4 years old. I said, Cedar, baby, come here. I don't want you to feel any pressure. But I only want you to do what Jesus tells you to do. And that 4-year-old girl commenced to go to every adult in that room and prophesy the secrets of their heart.
Whoa.
And some of those adults were wiped out for hours on the floor, weeping and wailing because of what had been told to them through a 4-year-old girl. There is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit.
No, that's right.
Thank you, Father. Prophesy. And when you prophesy, you don't have to do it like I do. It gets a little weird. Just be yourself. Just say, I just had this impression that, you know, this is what I've heard. And yeah, and all of a sudden, secrets of the heart start being revealed and released. Thank you, Father. Prophesy. Prophesy to the world around you. Prophesy, speak, which means to gush forth. Speak the word of the Lord. As long as we do that, we're going to change atmospheres around us.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you again, Lord, for removing the shame of the gospel from off of our lives. Thank you, Father. So he prophesied, and then something happened in the dead and dry place. Even Ezekiel, he couldn't say, "This is going to really happen." He said, "Only you know, God. Only you know, God." Again, anybody here thankful that Jesus is our advocate to the Father?
Yeah.
But we can become His advocates here on this earth.
Yeah.
You in your place of work, you in your place in your neighborhood, you in your area, you can become an advocate for Jesus, an advocate for the Father here on this earth. Don't say you can't do it.
That's right.
Declare, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." And if you're nervous about it, just pray in tongues. You can pray under your breath. If you're real nervous about it, you can go into hyper tongues. Trying to give you something to laugh about right now. Pray. Release heaven. Intercede. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This thank you right now, I declare, I will bring them to my holy mountain and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Hallelujah. Now I have 3 points that I forgot to write down. First point is ha ha. Second point is he he. Third point is ho-ho. Thank you, Lord. I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them. You know, when I've been around Heidi Baker, she just challenges me to more about seeing the One. And how she went into identification by just sitting there with the poor and the needy and the broken. Maybe it doesn't show so much here in the States, but I know it does. We say it's not there, but we have a tendency to cloister ourselves. And we like to go to church most of the time, but church is not something we do, it's something we are.
Amen.
Ecclesia, we are called out with a governmental peace to change the world around us. Finally, verse 11. The people were saying, "Our hope's lost. We ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. And I will cause you to come out, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." Jane, would you go to the keyboard and just play that? My I love this church. I love the Currens. I love the Lamberts. I love so many of you I had a long history with. As I walk these grounds, as I drive around, and there's a cry that rises in me. God, come from the four winds. God, breathe. Breathe on families. Breathe on sons and daughters. Breathe on grandchildren. Breathe on Kingsport, Johnson City, Bristol. Let your breath come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're just going just to wait on Him right now. Just stretch your heart, stretch your spirit. You can even stretch your hands. Here I am. We sang it earlier. Here I am. Amazing psalm. Written by a man like all of us that realizes his humanity, but then so thankful for that precious blood that covers, that precious blood that redeems, that precious blood that protects. I just want to declare restoration. I want to proclaim restoration.
Yes.
I want to speak life.
Yes.
I want to say, you shall live.
Amen.
I want to say, Shekinah, you will live.
Yes.
And not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to say that every blade of grass, every tree, every flower, every thing that has been maintained through these years, God, I say, to those things, to those buildings, you shall live. You will not die. You will declare the works of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for that which you gave to Pastor Sue, that she envisioned a place where the commandments of Jesus would become a life reality. We ask you, God, we ask you for fresh oil, fresh fire.
Yes.
We ask you for fresh dew of heaven. We ask you for life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the disentangling right now. Come! With the sword of the Spirit.
Yes.
Come, swift and wonderful swift sword of the Lord, and liberate us from the things that matter little so that we can be free to do what matters most. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you.
Yes, we do.
We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I just proclaim over their sisters now. Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali, received this prophetic. It said, you're like a doe set free, and you speak good words. I pray for my sisters right now, for the good news to be on their lips, God. I thank you, Father. As a man, I thank you. I thank you so much. We know who were the first responders. The first responders to your body. The first responders to the empty grave. The first responders with your gospel were the women. And I ask you, God, I ask you even right now for strength, for courage, for boldness. I see increase. I see increase. I see increase. Release it, Father.
Yes.
Release it, Father. Release it, Father. Break every yoke. Break every chain. Break every bondage.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for the millennials here. I pray, Lord, for the Gen Xers, Lord. Let them rise up. Let them rise up. You are the one that gives beauty for ashes. You are the one that gives the oil of joy for the garment of heaviness. Just as I'm prophesying this right now, this young woman right here with a striped blouse right here. What's your name, darling? Excuse me? Mandy, Lord, I thank you for your hand on Mandy. What?
Brandy.
Brandy, I thank you for your hand on Brandy. Thank you, Lord, that her best days are before her.
Yes.
She never dreamed, God, what she's going to walk in, God.
Amen.
And thank you even right now for a shift inside of her heart, God. He's moving your heart. I pray a prayer regularly. God, move me with the things that move you. And Lord, I just declare evangelism. I declare a winner of the lost.
Yes.
I declare, Lord, that she will go to nations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Brandy, would you just lift up your hands right now?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I break every curse.
Every curse.
I break every curse that you spoke against yourself. I break every curse that has been spoken against you by others right now in Jesus' name. By reason of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. You're a new woman?
Yes.
All things have passed away. All things become new. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we pray in the Spirit, beloved? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I hear this scripture right now. How long will you, the words of Elijah there at Carmel, how long will you halter between two opinions? If God, if Baal's God, serve him. If God's God, then serve him. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
I declare the word resolve. Fresh resolve.
Yes.
To do what God created me for.
Amen.
To go where He wants me to go. To speak what He wants me to say. To do what He wants me to do. Fill us right now with the yes and amen of heaven. Thank you, Father. I hear this scripture right now. A tender shoot, he will not be broken. A bruised reed he will not be broken. A tender shoot he will not be bruised. Right? Yeah. Lord, I thank you right now. Just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the dowels, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for these years of covenant love together. We thank you, Lord. They will bend but not break. Hallelujah. Yeah. We just thank you, Father, for, yeah, this is not really a scripture, but blessed are the flexible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just thank you for flexibility, God. Thank you, Father. And Jim, so many years in prayer meetings here, your name was called. I can remember praying for you for years. And I can't tell you the joy of my heart to be able to walk in and talk to you today here. And so, Father, we ask you for a miracle in his body.
Yes, we do. We agree.
We ask you, Father, for a miracle in his body, God. We ask you for strength as a man's day, so shall his strength be with. Pray for the strength of the Lord in Jim, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Kelly and her husband. We pray for Kelly and Chris, God. I have no idea what they're doing, where they are, but I ask you, God, that you would breathe on them, even right now. Breathe into them right now, your breath.
Yes.
Thank you for reviving them, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. In the midst of trouble, I hear this, in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you.
We agree.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free. Here I stand, knowing that sanctify the blood of the Lamb. Can we stand? And now I know the greatest love of all is mine. Since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Those that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed for the sowing, shall doubtless come again, bringing in the harvest. There are some seeds that lay dormant for centuries and centuries and centuries. And then moisture comes to desert places, and the deserts bloom and blossom like a rose. And know one thing, there's been a lot of tears and a lot of prayers over this place. And I thank you, Lord, for seeds that were sown coming to fruition. When I stir up Jesus' name, the spirit of grace, the spirit of supplication, the spirit of prayer, well, thank you, Father. I thank you, and I will bring them to my house of prayer, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Thank you for the joy of coming together in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Keith, it's time for you to step up.
Come on.
Lord, I thank you right now. Bless the Lord when leaders lead and when the people willingly offer themselves. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for such a willing man, such a willing heart. Thank you for the gift of key to this body, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we sing it one more time?